Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him male and female. Created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Just a generic term for both male and female. In the day when they were created. Verse 3. And Adam lived for 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, some of you think you're getting old this morning. Doesn't that encourage you? Now, if I was 900 years old, I think I'd die too. Now, as you go on in this chapter, we won't read every verse. Adam begat Seth, verse 6, and in verse 8, Seth lived 912 years, and he died. And Seth begat Enos, verse 9, and Enos died, verse 11, when he was 905 years. And then he begat Canaan, verse 12, and Canaan, verse 14, lived to be 910 years, and he died. And Enos begat Methuselah, verse 16, and Methuselah lived, verse 17, 890 years, and he died. And he begat Jared, and Jared, at verse 20, died when he was 962 years old. Then in verse 25, Methuselah lived, and he died. Then in verse 27, when he was 969 years, he died. He begat Lamech, verse 28, and Lamech was 82 years old, and he begat a son, called his name Noah. And in verse 31, all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah, verse 32, was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Reading Genesis, the fifth chapter, is like a walk through a cemetery. I don't know if you've ever walked through a cemetery, but it's a very sobering experience. Gives you their birth and gives you their death if you read the headstones. It's a very sobering statement. He died. Do you know that the statistics are right now that 10 out of every 10 people living will die? Pretty impressive. The Bible says, "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Who can save his soul from the hand of the grave?" The answer is none. This only reinforces what God had said, "Adam, the day that you eat of that fruit, ye shall surely die." And God's word was fulfilled. Sin brought spiritual death. Man was separated from God because of his disobedience in the fall. And sin brought ultimately physical death. You read, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. The Bible tells us that in Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die. It's because of this inherited sin. It's an evident sign that when we are born into the human race, we are born with a sin nature. And the minute we were born, we begin to die. Someone said that war doesn't increase the death toll, it just expedites it or speeds it up. For every one of us are going to die. Now, when you're young, you don't like to think about those things. Somehow, when we're young, we just think that we'll go on living forever. The most important thing for us to do is to be prepared to die. Someone said, "You're not ready to live till you're ready to die," and I believe that's true. And that it is appointed unto every man once to die, and after this the judgment, that we need to be ready to meet our Maker. Now it starts in verse 1 and it says that this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that he was made by God in God's likeness. Now there's only one other place in the Bible where you find that same phrase, the book of the generations of, and that's the very first verse of the New Testament. And it's significant. Because you know that God puts every human being in one of two books, either the book of Adam or the book of Jesus Christ. If you are unsaved this morning, you're not a Christian, you are in the book of Adam. Now, in Adam, you are dead in your sins. In Adam, you will ultimately be separated from God for all eternity. The judgment, the condemnation, the death that came upon Adam is yours if you are in Adam. But if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've been born again, then you are placed in the book of Christ. This is the generations of the book of Jesus Christ, Matthew 1:1. And all that is true of Christ, his life, his resurrection, his eternity, the forgiveness of sins that he has to offer is all yours through Jesus Christ. And so every human being is either in one book or the other. Now, apart from Christ, everyone dies. But in Christ, he becomes that resurrection life. And so we read in this chapter that every one of them, in this righteous line of Seth, the end of chapter 4, we had the ungodly line of Cain, and it was through Seth, who was the appointed one to take Abel's place, God would ultimately send the Messiah. And so what this is the genealogy from Seth, Adam to Seth, and then from Seth down to Noah. Noah had Shem, Ham, Japheth, and it was through Shem that the Messiah ultimately would come, who would be that chosen seed of the woman to bruise the head of the serpent. But in the meantime, we have death. But I don't know if you noticed, I skipped over one individual in our chapter, verse 21. I want you to see it with me. There is one man of whom it is said, he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He did not die. He was translated by God from life to glory. It is not said of Enoch that he lived to be 365 and then he died. No. But it says in verse 21 that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch, verse 22, walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. You see, they had daughters, but they didn't list them in the genealogies. And verse 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and instead of, and he died, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Isn't that amazing? I call him Enoch the Spaceman. You talk about a space cadet, this is it. This guy was so close to the Lord that finally the Lord just says, Enoch, come home. Snatched him right off the earth. And then there's that break in that sequence of he died, he died, he died. And we come to this man, Enoch, who walked with God, and it says that he was not, for God took him. God translated him. Now, Enoch is mentioned in the New Testament. He is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 and in Jude. Now, without making too much confusion here, if you can find Hebrews 11 while you're still listening to me and giving me your attention, slide one finger in if you've got enough fingers to spare. And then find Jude, slide another finger in there, a bookmarker. Hold your place in Hebrews 11 and Jude. And I'll be making reference to this, to those. If you want to flip quickly with me, you can do that. But if you want to just stay here in Genesis, that's fine too. You'll be spiritual. We'll let you do that. But the amazing thing is to me that only one other man in the entire Bible is a person who skipped death. Though the Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die, there was a guy named Enoch who didn't. Now, one other guy, his name was Elijah. And Elijah was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot, like a whirlwind of fire. He was scooped right off the earth and taken up into heaven. I don't know about you, but I think that'd be the ultimate rapture. You're hanging out with your friends, you know, you're getting down on you because you're a Christian. All of a sudden, he's taken out. And there's more said about Enoch in the New Testament than there is the Old. Now, every one of us as believers can have the same testimony Enoch had. And it may be true of us one day that if we walk with God, God will translate us. It's called the rapture of the church. And that's the event described in the Bible. We'll talk about it more in a minute, where all the living saints, all the Christians that are alive on the earth, will all of a sudden disappear. And they'll be raptured off the earth to be with the Lord in heaven for eternity. But in the meantime, we as believers need to live by faith on earth. We need to walk with God as Enoch walked with God. We need to be obedient to God as Enoch evidently was obedient to God. We need to hate sin and unrighteousness that surrounded Enoch as he was in the world at that time. We need to walk with God, loving him and hating sin. To love the Lord is to hate evil, the Bible says. And so Enoch was a man that walked with God. You too can be a man or woman of whom it might be said, she walked with God. And she was not, for God took her. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now you might say, John, that's a real nice thought, but Enoch lived a long time ago. Times are hard now. I mean, we got hardcore pornography and smutty movies and music and television, rise of the occult, violence. You know, I mean, way back then it was easy to walk with God. Is that so? Think again. Enoch is what is called an antediluvian. That means he lived before the flood. There's not too many of those around today. If you meet somebody who's an antediluvian, run for your life. You'll definitely be old and crusty. Now, why did God send the flood? Because of the wickedness of man. You think Enoch lived in a different time than we do? Not so. Notice chapter 6, verse 5. It said that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts and of his heart was only evil continually. Now, if that doesn't describe our society today, I don't know what does. Notice in verse 13 of chapter 6, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them on the earth. You see, the society that existed during the time of Enoch was just like ours, and we'll look at that next week. Jesus said, as it was before the days of Noah, so shall it be just before the coming of the Son of Man. They'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And they didn't know that the world was going to be destroyed until the flood came. So in our time, people are living and drinking and life normal, but Jesus Christ will come again. And he will bring judgment against all the ungodly. But I believe the righteous will be spared. They will be taken off the planet Earth to be with Christ before the wrath of God is meted out on the wicked world. But we live in a time just like this, a time when man's evil imaginations. I consider myself pretty much in the know, and it seems like every other day or so, I am shocked at the new depth of sin and degradation that man is steeped to. With our snuff pornography and our child pornography. Young youths wilding in the park. Families being beat up in the shopping center parking lots. And the murder and the rape and the violence. I just can't believe how violent and sinful. Notice verse 13. Violence had filled the earth. We live in a violent society. I tell you, if you don't walk with God today, you ought to be scared. Day's not far off. If you want to go at night to buy some milk at the 7-Eleven, you got to drive a Sherman tank to get there. No, you get out of your car, kick the door open, you got a machine gun. I'd like a quart of milk, please. You know, I mean, you go out to water your dandelions, you get mugged. We live in a violent world, and it's really a serious problem. And the gospel is the answer. Not social reform or more jobs or higher education. Men's hearts need to be changed by the love of God. People are looking for love. They're looking in the wrong places. Now, if Enoch could walk with God in the midst of that, you and I can walk with God today. And guess this, dig this for a minute. Do you know how long Enoch walked with God? 300 years. Now, can you imagine meeting somebody at church? Oh, how long have you been a Christian? 300 years. Wow! You must really know your Bible. Woo! You've known the Lord 300 years? Thought you looked kind of crusty. Notice it tells us there that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. I believe that for the first 65 years of Enoch's life, he wasn't really walking with God as the text seems to indicate. What he was doing, I don't know, but there wasn't a real walk with God the first 65 years. Because it says here, it says Enoch lived 65 years, verse 21. He had Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God. Notice it says, after he begat Methuselah. And then he died at 365 years. So he walked with God for 300 years. What was it that caused Enoch to begin to walk with God? Is there any significance in the fact that he began to walk with God after his firstborn Methuselah? It is true that sometimes people will sober up when they have children. If they don't, it's sad. Wow, honey, we got kids now. We better settle down. I better, stop running with the boys and stay home so I can be a good example for the kids. And I've seen people, they start coming to church. Well, we had kids and we realized that we wanted them to be in church, so here we are. Well, I'm glad you're here, but it's too bad you didn't start when you were young. That you, in the days of your youth, don't remember your Creator. Now, whatever it is that brought you to the Lord, great. But see that you stick with Him. Now, I believe that God, in Methuselah's birth, gave to Enoch a special revelation that forced Enoch into a closer walk, or influenced him, I should say. Because you know what the name Methuselah means? It means when he dies, it shall come. When he dies, it shall come. The question is, what shall come? If you study the chronology of the dates of their birth and deaths, you'll discover that Methuselah died the year of the flood. That the same year the flood came and destroyed all flesh on earth except for Noah and his sons and wives, that same year Methuselah died. And I believe that in a special way, God revealed to Enoch that when this kid dies, that's all she wrote. And Enoch says, I better get my life right with you, Lord. Can you imagine when Methuselah got a cold or sniffles, how freaked out he'd get? Take him to the doctor, take him to the doctor. Watch out, don't drop him, don't drop him. When he dies, it shall come. Now, we know that Jesus promised to come again. When, we don't know. Do you know that based on the scriptures, there's nothing keeping Christ from returning for the church any minute before I finish my sermon? And I studied a lot for this week, and if he interrupts it, that's all right with me. Lord, can you wait? My sermon's not done yet. The Lord could come back before we leave this building. Are you ready to go? Don't wait till you're in the hospital on your sick bed. There's a calamity, a death in the family. You lose your job. Oh, God, I need you. Like God's on the shelf and you just take him off when you want him. But Enoch began to walk with God, and he walked with God for 300 years. How is your walk with God this morning? How is your walk with God? Is it up? Is it down? Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it on? Is it off? Well, sometimes if things are going good, I kind of just fall away from the Lord. If things get bad, then I really have to seek Him. How's your walk with God? You know what? We need Christians that can walk with God the long haul. Too many Christians are like the sparklers on the 4th of July. A lot of flash. Ooh. And then they burn out real quickly. Yeah, I've been a Christian about 5 years. That's no big deal. I've tried that. I don't go to church anymore. I don't read my Bible anymore. I'm just kind of bored with the Lord. Hey, when you walk with the Lord, you don't get bored. Amen? But when you begin to walk with the world and live for yourself, then life becomes very insipid. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth, and living for Christ brings zest to life. But what we need is Christians that will go the long haul. Jesus could come any minute, but he may not. Are you ready to be a Christian for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? You know, I kind of like being around people that have walked with God for years. I had a grandmother, my grandmother Miller. She'd walked with God for many, many years. And I used to like to just get together with her and listen to her pray. Prayers were so simple. So simple. But she had proven God's faithfulness over many, many years of walking with him. It's not the deep theology they learn. It's not the deep biblical knowledge. But it's that experience of day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, living and walking with God. As I look back on my walk with God, what a blessing to know all these years I've been able to walk with him by his grace. Not because I'm anything special, but because of his mercy and his grace that he has kept me close to him. Now, what does it mean to walk with God? If Enoch walked with God, we need to discover what are the prerequisites for walking with God or the requisites for walking with God. The first one is faith. You cannot walk with God unless you first believe that God is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, to walk with God means that you're in fellowship with him and that you're walking in obedience to him. The word walk in the Hebrew is an idiom for just a whole life that's lived for God. And we use the term, oh, he's really a man who walks with God. What does it mean? It means that he lives for the Lord. He's obedient to the Lord. He believes in the Lord. You see, the Christian life starts with a step of faith. And then it leads to a life of faith, not of feeling, not of emotions, not of sight. For the just shall live by faith. When my little girls were learning to walk, they'd take one step. And then they'd, whoa. And they'd take another step and wiggle around and fall. And it was just a little step. Now they're terrorizing the house. And as a Christian, it starts with my believing in Jesus. For salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, as I told you, Enoch is mentioned there in verses 5 and 6. It says there in verse 5 that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. For he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, Enoch is mentioned in the great hall of faith, people. Enoch is a man of faith, and that's where the Christian life starts. Now, what does it mean to live by faith? Simply put, it means to trust in God. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Every one of us needs a healthy navel. You know the word navel there in the Hebrew means nerves? You ever get nervous? Bite your fingernails?
You need to walk with God. Trust Him.
It means that I don't worry, that I trust my cares to Him, that I don't resort to my own wisdom, lean not to thine own understanding. It means that I don't lean to my own intellect and my own rationale, my own abilities, but that I say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. I'm relying upon you. You know, my five physical senses teach me that the real world is what I can see, hear, taste, smell, feel. But you know, there's a sixth sense that sin has killed in man. It's a spiritual capacity to see God, to hear God, to feel God, and to experience God. And the world is pressing in saying, hey, live for what you can see, what you can feel, what you can possess here. But the Bible says it's all temporal, that's passing away. To walk with God means I live for eternity. Some of you are living only for your homes, your jobs, your houses, your cars, your clothes. To live by faith means that you look beyond the temporal to the eternal. For all that seems temporal, but the unseen is eternal. What are you living for? Are you living for God? Are you trusting in Him? Are you leaning on Him? Or are you leaning on your own intellect? Well, honey, don't worry if the Lord doesn't provide for us. We now just got approved. We have a Visa card. God doesn't come through. We've got the Visa. Oh. Well, now that we're driving a brand new car, we don't have to trust God anymore when we're out on the road. Don't be fooled. Those that trust in the Lord shall not be put to shame. But if you trust in man, if you trust in Toyota, if you trust in GMC, you'll be let down. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not half thine heart, and the other half, your bank account. Because the Lord may not come through and you need that money there. Are you trusting the Lord implicitly? You know what it means to walk in faith? It means to reach out and take God's hand. You know, as a father, when I'm in a busy parking lot or crossing the street, I always reach out and take my kids' hands. And it's a good feeling. I not only am at peace because I know they're safe, but when I walk with God, I have His protection. But it just creates a bond there that I really enjoy. I love that feeling of being able to protect my daughters, to hold them close, to keep them safe. I've got eyes that can see things that they can't see at their little height. And so when I'm living by faith, I reach out and I take God's hand, and God takes my hand, and He sees farther than I do. He knows tomorrow, I don't. All I can do is trust Him for the day. You see, the Bible says that we should not worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Trust God day at a time. Get up every morning and take God's hand. Say, Lord, I want to walk with you through this day. Lord, you know my heart is broken. Lord, you know how lonely I am. I pray that you'll be my companion today. I want to talk with you and walk with you. And I want to hear your voice and fellowship with you. You see, man was separated from God because of sin, but through Christ's death and resurrection, and through faith in Him, we can come back into a fellowship with God, and we can walk with God. Right now in the 20th century, you can know God and walk with Him, just like Enoch. It's a life of faith. It's a life of trust. To walk with God means, secondly, that I live in agreement with God. You see, in Amos it says in chapter 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so Enoch was a man who was living a life of agreement with God. We must live in agreement with God and what He has said in His Word. Now to do this, I must spend time daily hearing God's Word, reading it, studying it, and applying it to my life. Don't tell me you're walking with God if you never read your Bible. Oh, I walk with the Lord. How often do you read your Bible? Oh, once every 6 months. You're not walking with God. What does God say about this issue? What does God say about that issue? You see, I need to know what God's will is before I can agree to it and yield to it. And I find God's will in His Word. So if you're going to walk in fellowship with God, you must get up daily. And I encourage you to get up in the morning while you're fresh. You know, too many people get up and they go, oh, sorry, Lord, I overslept. I'll just have to pray later, talk to you later. And they rush through the day, shave in the car on the way. Sometimes I do that. I'm down at the office, I'm shaving on the way. You know, eating donuts on the way, and you're driving and you're busy. The whole day's spent, and you come home, and you're so wound up. And you go, I'm just too hyped to pray right now. I think I'll just watch some TV and just unwind. Yeah, you watch TV, you'll unwind all right. You know they've monitored the physical activity of a person watching TV? Do you know how much physical effort it takes or how much physical exertion you exert when you're watching TV? As much as when you are sleeping. That's a fact. You talk about blobbing out. That's blobbing out. You tune in and tune out. And then, you know, 11 o'clock, oh, that was a good monster movie. Now to seek the Lord. Lord, I love you, Lord. But you know how it is, I'm tired. Or you get down next to your bed. Have you ever gotten down to pray and you're real tired? And you kneel down, you put your hands on the bed, fold your hands, and you put your forehead. And there's a real nice little cup right there when you put your head in it. It's real comfortable. And you say, oh, Lord, you're sound asleep. And you wake up an hour later, it's 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning. Oh, Lord, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. See you in the morning. You jump in and go to sleep. And then the routine is repeated the next day. Where's your fellowship with God? Where's your walk with Him? While your mind is fresh before it gets on the things of the day. You don't have to spend an hour with God. If you just took 5 minutes and from the depth of your being, you know what it means to walk with God? It means to think about it during the day. If you can monitor how many times you actually consciously think about God, you're not really in fellowship with Him. For the Scriptures talk about thy meditation of thee all day long is sweet. When you're driving, when you're playing, when you're working, are you thinking about God? Are you thinking about God and His love for you? You know, sometimes I get in the car, and the first thing I do, it's like a natural reflex, I turn the radio on. And I've got a funky radio. I mean, this thing's bad news. It's got 2 speakers. One of them's completely thrashed, and the other one's kind of half-hanging there. But it sounds good. So I flip the radio on, you know, and sometimes the Lord will speak to me. And I'll say, John, do you want to listen to the radio or me? Now, it doesn't come out of the speaker or anything. But it's just an impression of my heart, like, you know, I haven't been talking to you, Lord. I've been thinking about you. You know, when you're away from somebody you really love, you think about them a lot, don't you? Whenever I travel away from home, I'm always thinking about my wife. I'm thinking about my kids. Why is it we can go through life and never think about God, our closest friend? So I'll turn the radio off. Turn the stereo off. Turn the TV off. Some of you have the TV on in your home and you're not even watching it. That's ridiculous. It's just blasting away and you don't even know what's on. Turn the stupid thing on. Say, Lord, I want to hear you. As long as the physical senses are receiving all the stimuli, it decreases my ability to hear God's voice. Elijah went out to the wilderness, and there was an earthquake. God was not in it. There was a wind. God was not in the wind. There was a fire. God was not in the wind. When all stopped, where did God hear? Where did Elijah hear God? Still, small voice.
You know why you're not hearing God's voice? Because the TV's on. Take the earphones out of your ears. Listen to God. Tune into Him. Walk with Him. That's what Enoch did. He was a man who fellowshipped with God. He lived in agreement to Him. It also involves not knowing the Word and obeying, but hearing God's Word, but being surrendered to God's Word. Enoch wasn't fighting or resisting what God had said or what God's will was for him. Enoch walked with God and delighted to walk with Him. How about you? Can you say, I delight to do thy will, O Lord? It's the joy of my heart. Do you agree with what God says in His Word? Some people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe everything the Bible says. Well, you're not walking with God. For two cannot walk unless they are in agreement. Enoch agreed with God and what He said about the world and about the sin around him. This leads me to another thought, and that is to walk with God means to live in holiness. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say with our mouth that I'm walking in fellowship with God and I live in darkness, I'm a liar, John says, and I don't do the truth. But if I walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is cleansing me from all my sins. And I have fellowship. I have koinonia. If you're a Christian this morning and you're practicing sin, you are not walking in fellowship with God. You are not as Enoch was, walking with God. See, God is holy and you can't live in sin and expect to be living in fellowship or communion and walking with God. Enoch walked with God and he opposed sin. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The more I love God and the more I walk with Him, you know, the more sensitive I become to sin. John Bunyan had written in the flyleaf of his Bible, this book will keep you from sin, or sin can keep you from this book. But I want to take it a step further. Sin can keep you from God, or God can keep you from sin. If there's sin in your life and it's driving you away from God, you need to repent of it and walk in the light. But if you're really walking with God and in fellowship with Him, that is a motivation to live a holy life. That is a motivation to live a pure life. You see, because Enoch walked with God, he opposed sin. You must oppose sin. Don't give me this garbage about you loving God and walking with God and not hating sin. That's inconsistent. And if we're really walking with God, then we're going to live a life that's holy, realizing that God's with me wherever I go. I'm not only with Him, He's with me. The famous evangelist of years past, D.L. Moody, was invited by a local bartender to come to the opening of a new bar where it was a billiard hall. They played pool. In those days, pool was just really a bad thing. I'm not convinced it's the best thing today either. But in those days, it was always associated with the bar. And so here's this leading evangelist, world-renowned. He gets this invitation to go to this opening of this bar. So Moody wrote back to the fellow, and he says, I will come if you let me bring my best friend. Now, the guy knew Moody. He wrote back and says, well, that's okay. We'll dismiss you. You don't have to come. Because he's going to walk in there and say, yeah, I want you to meet Jesus. You know, a lot of times Christians will think that they can leave God out of certain areas of their life. Lord, I think you better sit in the car for a while. I'm going to go into this place. Now, I don't think you're going to like it. You can listen to the radio, just hang out here. I'll be back in about a half an hour. It doesn't cut it. Oh, Jesus, maybe you ought to stay outside and I'll go in. I'll be out later. He may not be out there waiting for you when you come back. Your sin can separate you from God. Hey, if Jesus can't go with me, I won't go. If I can't watch that movie without grieving the heart of God, I won't watch that. If I can't say what I need to say without grieving God, I won't say. It's living in agreement with God, living in holiness with God, walking by faith. You know, Enoch also was a preacher. Not only did Enoch, first of all, walk with God, but he was a preacher. That's why I like Enoch. Right on. It says in the book of Jude that Enoch also was the seventh from Adam, prophesy. That means to preach. Notice what it says in Jude 14 and 15. He prophesied these sayings. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all that are convicted of all ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against. Now, you get the idea that Enoch was kind of against ungodliness? This guy was radical. His preaching involved two things. The Lord's coming back and he's coming to judge. But the one lesson I like about Enoch here in Jude is that he called sin, sin. Four times in one verse, you find the word ungodly. And so what Enoch did was he said, you're ungodly, that's ungodly, that's sin. You see, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to develop God's vocabulary, you're going to call sin, sin. We are so hypocritical today. We have redefined God's vocabulary. We call pride self-esteem. We call selfishness fulfillment. We call lust instinct. Adultery an affair. We call murdering an unborn child, terminating a pregnancy. I call it hypocrisy. It's sin. Oh, he's having an affair. No, he's committing adultery. It's sin. Oh, well, he really needs that relationship to strengthen his marriage. I've heard that. I've heard that. Stupid. It's called S-I-N. And anyone who walks with God like him, call it what God calls it. And that's not going to make you popular. But if you really are walking with God, you're going to develop God's vocabulary. Now the thing about Enoch, it tells us in Hebrews 11:5 that Enoch was translated, but before he was translated, he had this testimony. He pleased If I live by faith and walk with God, if I walk in agreement, surrendered to his will, if I live a holy life and hate sin and call it what God calls it, I will please him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm saying this in all sincerity. All I want to do in my life is please God. I'm not out to build an empire. I'm not out to gain a name. I'm not out to own a lot of money. Got a real bad start on that if I did. I'm out to hear the words one day when I see God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because you're not going to take your car with you. I've never seen a funeral procession where the hearse is pulling a U-Haul trailer. You don't take it with you. I want to please God. You know, if you live your life to please God, it may mean that you displease people. Because think about it, there's only three people that you can live for. Three motivations for living: to please yourself, to please others, or to please God. Who are you living for this morning? I lived for myself for 19 years. First 19 years of my life, I lived for myself. I was miserable. And I know what it is to put the pressure on to live for people, try to please people, try to make them happy. I was miserable. And then you come to the place where you say, Lord, hang it. I just want to live for you. I just want to please you. And you know what? If I make God happy, if you don't like me, tough. That's too bad. If you don't like me, I'd like for you to like me, but if you don't, God does. The most important thing in life is to live to please God. And if you do, it might cost you something. It might cost you your job. Young ladies, it may cost you your boyfriend. It may cost you your girlfriend if you live to please God. Well, you're not making me very happy. Well, tough. I'm making God happy. Daniel would not defile himself with the king's meat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow, wouldn't bend, and they didn't burn. It's because they stood. You know, that's one of the neatest pictures to me of commitment in the entire Bible. A whole nation on their face before an idol, and three Hebrew kids just standing there. Oh, here we go. It's going to be a hot time in the old furnace tonight. You know, but we want to follow like Peter, far off, that when the heat's on, we deny the Lord. You know, a lot of Christians don't like to walk close to the Lord because then it's obvious you're a Christian. So they walk just far enough that they can kind of slide in and out. Aren't you a Christian? Well, you tell me first if you are, and I'll tell you if I am. The woman said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of his disciples. Your speech is betraying. I saw you." And Peter says, "No way. I wasn't one of those Jesus freaks. No way. I don't even know the guy." And then on Sunday, Peter's all Joe Christian. On Monday, yeah, hand me a beer. Just follow it far enough off that, you know, when the pressure's on, you can slip out. Go for it. Live so full on for Jesus Christ that people won't even ask you if you're a Christian. They'll run for their life. They'll know you're a Christian. It's not questionable. Sad day when somebody says of you, "He's a Christian? I didn't know that. Amazing." How close do you walk to God? You know, if you're really close to the Lord, it's going to tell in your speech, in your values, in your priorities, the way you spend your time, the way you spend your money. You want to know how close somebody is to God? Check their pocketbook. Check their giving record at church. I'll tell you where they're at with God. But living to please God is the most important thing in this world. And Enoch was a man who lived his life to please God. He sought the Lord by faith. He walked with God in a living faith and fellowship with God. He lived in agreement with God and his word. He surrendered to God's will. He lived in holiness. He spoke out against the sin and corruption. And he brought pleasure to God. Now, what happened to Enoch in the end? I've already taken a lot of time to spend too much on this, but this is the grand finale. He was raptured. The guy was so awesome in his commitment to God that he was snatched off the earth. I like what Andrew Bonar says, Scottish preacher. He said, every morning, God, and this is just imagination, it's not found in your scripture. Every morning, God would come and knock on Enoch's door, and Enoch would open the door, and there'd be God. And Enoch would join God and they'd take a walk every morning. Bonner says perhaps one day as God and Enoch were walking arm in arm together, then Enoch all of a sudden realized that the hour was late, it was time for him to get home, and they'd walked a great distance. And he said, "Lord, it's been neat walking with you and talking with you and sharing my heart with you and hearing your voice, but Lord, it's late, it's time to go, and we're far away from my home, I need to go." That God perhaps turned to Enoch. And he said, "Enoch, you know, today we're closer to my home than we are yours. Why don't you just come home with me?" I like that. Can you imagine? Enoch must have been so excited. Now, think for a moment the effect it must have had on Enoch's friends when he wasn't there anymore. Probably his parents thought some kind of foul play from the Canaanites. I know it's those Canaan cousins. They probably killed him like they did Abel.
And they were probably looking for him and searching for him, but he was gone. He disappeared. What a glorious thing. I like what H.B. Carroll says about Enoch being taken by God. He said God translated him. This word translated is an old Latin word. It's an irregular verb. And it simply means to carry over or to be carried across. God carried Enoch across. The question is, across what? Across death. Death is a river that divides this world from the world to come. And here was a man that never did go through that river at all. When he got there, God carried him across. God transferred him and translated him. God picked him up and carried him over and put him on the other shore. And walking alone here in time, communing with God by faith, in an instant, he was communing with God by sight in another world. Faith, oh, precious faith. Faith has turned to sight and hope turned to fruition. In a single moment, the life of faith that was crowned by entrance into life of perfect fellowship above. In Revelation 3:4, it says, "And they shall walk with me in white." You see, God just took Enoch and translated him right over the river of death. He never died. Now, I am sure that this was not an interruption in Enoch's schedule. If God came for you today, would you get bummed out? "Lord, I haven't got that new car I want yet. We haven't moved into the new home." I know guys that used to not want the Lord to come till they got married. And then I know guys that after they get married want the Lord to come. I'm just kidding. Girls too. Gotta dig myself out of this one. "Lord, don't come back. I haven't gotten married yet." Poor, suffering soul. If God came today for you, would he interrupt your plans? "Yeah, we're going to take a nice vacation this summer." Oh, what a bummer. Yeah, I'd rather be in paradise for eternity. Much better. The rates are real nice up there. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God translated him. God took him. In Colossians it says, "Let your mind be set on things above, not on things of the earth, for your life is dead and hid with Christ in God." To walk with God means to live for eternity. It means that when God will call you home, you're ready to go. You're not going to hang on to your possessions. Now, Enoch becomes a type of the church, raptured before the tribulation. You see, before the great flood came, Enoch was taken up to heaven. And the Bible promises us that we are not, as Christians, appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. I believe in the imminent return of Christ, that nothing holds him back from coming at any moment. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We may not all die, but some of us will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Can you dig it? "And this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?' I will one day leave this body and I'll go straight into the presence of God. I won't even have to hassle with the burial." That's what Jesus said in John 14. "I'll go to prepare a place. I'll come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, you'll be also." Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 3, he said, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, to be with the Lord. Forever shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The Bible says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, And it's from heaven we look for the Lord to return who will change our bodies of humiliation. See, Enoch was a man who walked in faith. He walked in holiness and obedience. He was a man who pleased God. He was a man that the Lord took home to be with him. The blessed privilege of walking with God, of having access to him at any time, of knowing his peace and his power and his love, is not a privilege just for Enoch, but it's a blessing for you and I this morning. It's a privilege for any of us that will come to God by faith. I want to ask you this morning, are you walking with God? Is your hand in his? Are you trusting him? You did a little acrostic with the word faith. Faith is forsaking all, I take him. That's what it means to live by faith. It means that nothing in your hand you bring, but simply to his cross you cling. And having begun in faith, you continue in faith and you end in faith. If you're discouraged this morning, the remedy is a walk with God. If you're weak this morning, the remedy is a walk with God. If you're lonely this morning, the remedy is a walk with God. If you're discouraged this morning, the remedy is a walk with God. And you know, God beckons to you to come. God calls for you to come. God longs for you to come. God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants to spend time with you. Moment by moment, through each day that passes, growing with him, to know him more. 300 years Enoch walked with God. May God help us to walk with him.